This is CliffCentral.com.
Testing, testing, 1, 2. Yeah, you see, I wasn't going crazy yesterday. I had Greg check the microphones, and there was actually something wrong with my microphone. My buddy was wrong. She was wrong. She was trying to humiliate me there by saying I was all in my head.
You know what? When I am wrong, I will admit to being wrong.
Right. So I said, come on, say it for us once.
I was wrong. You were right.
Lucas, make sure we cut that clip out so we can always use the Mabali I was wrong clip whenever. Okay, there we go.
Oh, no.
You know that's coming in. All right, everybody. Good morning. Lucas here. It's Sia. It's Mabali. It's me. And Ben is at that golf thing that he's having a...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anyone so turned on by an event that nobody else cares about, you know?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to golf, Ben really...
Oh, he loves it.
I mean, he reverts to being like a little three-year-old girl, you know, at a princess party.
It's exactly it. A princess party. That's exactly it. Wow.
He loves it.
Lucas, can you have me back on WeChat here? For some reason, it's... Hang on. I got it. I want people to be able to send us emails, you know, and messages. So all your messages can come to the screen on WeChat. They can come to us on Twitter. They can come to us on cliffcentral.com. There are a number of ways to get hold of us. And you can WhatsApp us as well. That's right. Oh. WhatsApp, which you use for all your friends and family and porn. You can use it now for Cliff Central too. The number is 079-748-2090. So just put it on your phone.
Might as well just save it.
Yeah, save it there. And then you could put us there as one of the, you know, for example, when you've got something you want to say, something you want to get off your chest, that's the place to send it. If you want to tell us that you like something and you don't like something, you disagree with me, you agree with Mabali, you know, you might want to send us pics, you might want to send us video, you might want to send us audio notes. I love those.
Mm-hmm.
I use audio notes all the time, especially when I'm driving because it's so easy to do.
Yes.
And it's much safer than typing because you don't have to look at the screen. You just hold down the number and you're like, ba 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 ba, and then you finish and it goes up. And what I like about voice notes and why I don't like reading out too many messages during the show, I do them when you send me a message and it's really important, I'll put it up there. I hate reading out other people's messages though because I can't tell what their tone is. You might be very sarcastic. You might be laughing. You might be very serious. You might be very angry when you're busy writing something on a message. And we can't hear that. And one of the beauties of doing a live radio show that we do, or even a podcast radio show that we do, is that you can hear the tone of voice. So you can tell I'm joking if I go, Donald Trump, as opposed to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, and people, they don't understand this. So someone sent a tweet to me today about, like, why am I so interested in America? Well, I mean, isn't the world interested in America because of what's going on there?
But why are you so interested in America as opposed to...
You know, like, what should I be more interested in? Like, why are you telling me what I should be interested in? If you're more interested in something else, do your own fucking show.
Okay, no, that's not
a
really...
A bit extreme.
That's not really the direction I wanted to send you down on.
Thank you, Mabali.
No,
okay.
But, I mean, no, actually, the question that I want to ask is, can you not be interested in the world?
Yes. Yes, well, that's what I'm thinking is, you know, we pay attention to a lot of different things. It's not always America. In fact, most of the time it isn't. Mm-mm. We're paying attention mostly to South Africa because that's where we are.
Mm.
And what can affect us?
Yeah.
I tried to watch a bit of Trump's press conference yesterday. I couldn't.
Wow.
I think I literally just watched like a minute before. I was like, yeah, can't. No,
okay,
thank you.
Listen to this. You didn't want to stick to it, but listen to this. He laid into BuzzFeed and CNN. Now, this is interesting to me, not because it's Trump or not because it's even politics. It's about the media. You know, CNN have been accused of putting out fake news. I had my own issues with our own Sunday Times here in South Africa last year with fake news. They just made a story up,
mm-hmm.
put it out there as if it was truth, took up a whole page. And then the next week after I sent them a lawyer's letter, they printed an apology. It was the size of my thumbnail.
Yeah, I saw a few days ago, Pearl Tusi had her own issue with the media that had allegedly reported that she and Robert Marawa are now engaged, or that he had paid lobola for her.
More fake news.
More fake news. Mm.
So you know what? These organizations, these big media organizations, before no one checked on them because they had the resources to employ journalists and researchers, and they would throw lawyers at you if you challenged them.
Yeah.
Now they're all so poor and they're so failing. And they are. The Sunday Times is not making near the amount of money it made 5 years ago. Not even a blip on the radar screen compared to what they used to make. And in America, CNN's not making the money it used to make.
Shucks.
People don't trust these organizations anymore. Often they're owned, in the case of many of the publications in this country, in South Africa, many of our publications are owned by people who are politically connected. The New Age we know is a Gupta-owned publication. ANN7 is the sister company to the New Age, so that's also owned by them. Avusa's pretty much in the pocket of Iqbal Serv. That's independent newspapers. Avusa is owned by a bunch of different interests, some of them political. Prime Media's got Mine Workers Investment Corporation, I think, were their major shareholder last time I looked. And what? They're desperately – they are so – Prime Media are trying to sell those radio stations of theirs. You cannot believe they keep dropping the price. No one's interested.
Yeah, well, I mean, who can forget last year when Claudio Motsoeneng wanted to monitor what you see on the SABC News?
Well, I didn't even bring up SABC. Anybody who trusts...
Not worth bringing up.
If you think the SABC is telling you the truth, you are in the deepest pile of rubbish. Anyway, let me go to Trump and you listen to what he had to say. So, by the way, when we talk about freedom of speech and freedom of the press, you're the press. This is what's happened. When people talk about freedom of the press, they're living in 1923. Ordinary people, you and me, are we're the press. You go onto social media now, which is where most people get their news, and you can go directly to the source. If I want to know what happened in C.S. Sangweni's life, I go onto his Twitter feed or I go onto his Instagram, and that's where I'll get the news. I don't need it to come through. Give me a source that we'd use in this country.
The Daily Sun.
The Daily Sun.
My favorite news source.
All right, so listen to this quickly. This is from the Trump press conference yesterday.
Disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace that information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public. As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage.
And they are struggling because BuzzFeed, what I used to like about BuzzFeed, I used to follow them. Mm-hmm. They'd have those lists, like those bullshit lists of, you know, the top 10 things you don't know about your feet.
Yes, you see, I've always thought of BuzzFeed as kind of like a Mickey Mouse nyana news,
right?
Yeah,
news publication, not really serious news.
Right.
Did that change?
Well, they started getting political. They decided that they needed to weigh in on a bunch of stuff, and they're not a particularly credible news service. But
stick
now
to
they're
your lanes, guys.
Right, and now they're being torn apart. But listen to how he pulls CNN into this, because CNN took a BuzzFeed story and amplified it. They put it out there as news, so now he brings them in, and then the CNN reporter goes, "Please, can we have a question? I mean, you're rubbishing our news organization. Give me a chance to ask you a question." And Trump ignores him and says, "I'm not answering you. You are fake news." And he moves on to someone else.
Writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. And as far as CNN going out of their way to build it up. And by the way, we just found out I was coming down. Michael Cohen is a very talented lawyer. He's a good lawyer in my firm. It was just reported that it wasn't this Michael Cohen they were talking about. So all night long, it's Michael Cohen. I said, "I want to see your passport." He brings his passport to my office. I say, "Hey, wait a minute. He didn't leave the country. He wasn't out of the country." They had Michael Cohen of the Trump Organization was in Prague. It turned out to be a different Michael Cohen. It's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I think they ought to apologize to start with, Michael Cohen.
Sir, since you're attacking us, can you give us a question?
This is the CNN reporter.
No, Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
President-elect,
go ahead.
Since you are attacking our news
not
organization,
you. Not
can you.
You
give us a chance?
Your organization.
You are attacking
terrible.
Our news organization.
Your organization.
Can you give us a chance
Let's
to
go.
Ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can
quiet.
You state...
Quiet.
Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically...
She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be
you're
rude.
Attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you
no,
give
I'm not going to give you a question. I'm
you,
not going to give you a
can
question.
You can you state categorically...
You are fake news.
How does CNN come back from that? And you know what? Like, I don't like the idea that there's a politician now who's beating up on a news organization, because you would normally want to take the side of the news organization. But if they will, I mean, CNN hates Trump. They've made it clear from the beginning. They don't want him to succeed. They don't like him. They don't like his politics. They've proven through the course of this election, they don't have their finger on the pulse either, because Wolf Blitzer's face on election night was something to behold.
He just always looks like he needs a bit more oxygen. Like, he just needs an
oxygen. Looks like he needs to take a massive dump is
needs
what he needs.
Needs more color in his face. I'm worried, Wolf. Yeah.
Okay, but honestly speaking, though, in this day and age, how many credible, objective news agencies are still in existence, though, Gareth? I mean, we know that with Barack Obama, for example, Fox News never had anything positive to say about him because, you
Correct.
Know, they're biased to the Republicans.
And,
so,
and therefore, people who want the truth about Obama shouldn't watch Fox News.
But this is my question, is where do we go for credible, objective news these days? Because even in this country, you know, you'll have people who argue that, oh no, a place like the SABC is obviously biased to the ANC, and a place like ENCA is biased to the DA.
Are they?
Well, I've
is that
heard,
what people say?
I've heard people say these things.
The devil is a motherfucking liar. So you know I ain't worried. Biatch, stupid bitch.
Thank you for that. There's one of our callers with an answer to Mabali's question.
Oh, so eloquently put as
you
well.
You know where I go for the truth?
Where?
Mabali Moloi. That's where I go. You've got to find a news source where you trust their sources, you trust their research. You know, there are publications that still, a lot of them are boring, don't get me wrong. Boring. You have to read page after page after page. For example, I don't like all their politics, but I read Vanity Fair magazine, all right? Mm-hmm. They've got great journalists. They do enormous amounts of research. These people, and very often, they take a point of view that I don't support, but that's exactly why I like to read them. Because then I learn something.
True.
And they do the research. They will give you references. You know, I'm not asking for academic papers. But you cannot believe the stuff that a tabloid newspaper will print just to sell copies. There used to be a time, a while ago, where the news was something you couldn't buy as a sponsor. But the minute they got into that ratings war, the minute they started to measure ratings for news and they started to sell sponsorship of news, you couldn't trust it anymore. And I'm talking like 20, 30 years ago. Because news wasn't for sale. It was, we're going to try and go out there, we're going to spend money. We're not going to try and earn money for the news. We're going to spend money to get the best news we can for our audiences. That's how the big networks originally built their audiences around news time. The rest of the time, they could have, you know, panel discussions, and they could have sitcoms, and they could have talk shows, and those they could sponsor. But the news was not for sale. Well, something changed. And now MSNBC and Fox and all these people in different parts of the political spectrum are all selling their news. And more than that, they're giving these dumb audiences, so the audiences are to blame, and we are part of that problem. They're giving the audience the news they want. So if you are a right-wing lunatic, you will get a certain kind of news. There will be a segment of the news options that will cater to you, that will reinforce your terrible ideas about the world. And similarly, the left. They're going to be news outlets that cater to the left. The Huffington Post is a perfect example. The Huffington Post is completely not credible anywhere in the world. Arianna Huffington, this woman is so consumed by sleep.
Yes.
This is her big thing at the
moment.
What? All she wants to do is sleep.
Well, I mean, she kind of built an empire, doesn't she? Deserve to sleep.
She deserves a little bit of sleep.
Go to the nap room.
We must all sleep a little more.
It's all this work together in sleeping.
But the Huffington Post used to just be a blog. That was how it started.
And
don't get me wrong, I admire Arianna Huffington for creating this media empire. You know, it's like there are a lot of news sites in America that politicians wake up in the morning, they don't leave home without reading those news sites.
Mm.
And she started off like that. But it was her blog that powered the whole thing. And if you went to read Arianna Huffington's blog, you would go for a certain kind of opinion in that blog. And then slowly she started to bring writers in and they would start writing stories. But as a news site, no, they're hiring kids straight out of college and saying to them, just write a piece and we'll put it up because we need content, content, content.
Yeah, you see, some consumers find it difficult to distinguish between actual news reporting and then opinion pieces.
Right.
Do you know, funnily enough, some of the people who are now just trust for my news are comedians and satirical shows.
Right.
Because you know they're just going to make fun of the core issue. So what is the core issue? Well, let's see what, you know, The Daily Show is talking about. So Saturday Night Live. I have to say, I watched SNL, the very first SNL after the election results were revealed in America. And I was like, wow, this is actually the truth. This is what everyone was talking about. And Dave Chappelle was hosting it that week.
Yeah, I love him.
And there was this one skit in general. He was like the token black friend in his circle of white friends. And they were showing like real time, well, hour by hour, an hour lapse of like, you know, the election, the results slowly streaming in. All of their white friends were like surprised, like, oh my goodness. Does this mean like some people don't like black people? And he's sitting in the corner like, well, arms folded.
Welcome to my world.
So it's actually kind of ironic that we now watch like comedians for the truth.
Yeah, I think it's you've got to choose what you want to listen to. You've got to choose who you want to hear. And look, the more choices, obviously there isn't one unified person. No one has the truth. Here's the real fact. Is that no one has the truth.
We can handle the truth.
No, it's just that truth is a very subjective thing. It depends. It's like relativity. It's all based on where the viewer is positioned. If you are a student in South Africa, then you've got a certain point of view about things, about campuses, about the Fees Must Fall movement, about government, about the media. And you look at things from that point of view. That's where you are.
Mm.
And that's more important to you than almost anything else, right? I just think that you've got to be aware of your own situation too. And this is where things get a little bit complicated for people because they don't factor themselves into the whole thing. So they think that news is objectively true. You know, yesterday a man was shot. But if you go to a certain publication, it'll say, yesterday, police brutality. Or if you go to another one, they'll say, criminal stopped by police. Now, it's the same story. But here you've got three different points of view on it. So you've got to be wise to these things too. And I'm also worried that we don't have a media savvy. We don't have a literacy situation where people they're competent to read the thing and then understand that there is a point of view. As Mabali was saying, some people take opinion to be the news. Anyway, look, we've talked about this quite a lot. There's so much other stuff I want to get into this morning. Remind me, because we are going to run out of time, I think. We've got Adrian Basson coming on later on.
Gonna make my notes here.
Yeah, I love that guy. Adrian Basson, I mentioned he wrote a brilliant piece about Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, so we talked to him about that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff to catch up on from the holidays, which is still circling around in the news.
We also didn't get to your Gupta lawyer story from
yesterday. Yeah, we'll ask him about that too. And yesterday was the first day back at school, so we put up a picture of Ben and Mabali. And by the way, Ben is at the golf, as I mentioned earlier, just in case you're wondering why he's not around. So yesterday we spoke about school, back to school, and I got into this discussion. Do you remember the school intercom?
Yes.
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 Do you remember how that worked?
Oh, my goodness.
What did they say at the beginning of your school intercom? I tried to rack my brains. I couldn't remember.
Well, we
I just got anxiety.
No, we our intercom, you know, it it leaded with a sound first, so you knew to be quiet.
Dung, for, dung,
yes.
Ding.
It went like doody doody and then the person would just start speaking. But when you hear that
sometimes you couldn't understand, but the best was when the headmistress, the headmaster, or the teacher, whoever it was who was on the intercom, manning the intercom, they would start the intercom call. Like they'd start the transmission, but then someone would come into the office and tell them,
interrupted.
No, what you got to do is, so you'd have this.
Good morning, school.
Yes.
Then you're all sitting there going, yeah.
Good morning. Yes, I know. Good morning, school.
And then you'd wait. Dead. Now everybody in the class is like, oh God, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, if you take it away, break. That was always my biggest worry. Oh no, they're going to use us. They're going to need us to do something during break. I hated that.
Something stupid.
School, good morning. There is a terrorist running around the school.
Oh my God.
And he's got a bomb. All right, have a nice day.
Yeah, what? What just happened there? Or they'd say something ridiculous like,
Hold on.
So now you're sitting there again, you're waiting. And the worst, the most terrifying thing that could happen is they call out your name.
Mm.
Could Mabani Moloi please report to the headmaster's office?
Then it's Moloi, a thing. Please.
And then everybody in the class looks at you like, mm-hmm.
And sometimes it would be a teacher who knew you and they knew how to pronounce your name, but they would get it wrong. So they would go,
hi, could Mabel Molly please come to the principal's office? Mabel Molly? Thank you.
You'd be sitting now, your whole class is laughing at you, and you're like, oh, Jesus, something terrible's happened.
And that
home.
Name will stick. Mabel Molly will stick for the day.
Well, having been a hostel girl, we also had an intercom in the hostel, right?
Yeah.
And over weekends, on a Saturday and a Sunday, you would get visiting hours.
And it's like prison.
Yeah.
Yes, you'd get visiting hours. And so as the prefect body, they would put us on a timetable where you have to man the intercom every other weekend.
Okay.
So you'd be sitting there, and then every 5 minutes you hear, doo-doo-doo-doo. Gareth Cliff, please come down to the foyer for a visitor. Gareth Cliff, please come down to the foyer for a visitor.
Yeah.
But then now it's visiting hours. So all the boys from Grey College and St. Andrews are coming to see the girls, right?
Right.
So every 5 minutes, doo 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 doo. Siya Sangwenifin, please come down to the foyer for a visitor. And then by the end of the afternoon, there's like 5 girls who haven't been called down for visitors.
Oh, shame.
Sia Sangweni, there are no visitors for you.
Imagine.
Sia Sangweni, this is an announcement for Sia Sangweni. There are no visitors who care about you. No one cares.
That is actually so sad.
It was the best and the worst thing, because I used to, you know, I wasn't interested in radio, obviously. I didn't know that I'd end up in radio, but I just loved the fact that there was someone sitting there with a microphone and they could press a button.
Yes.
And the whole school would have to listen.
Yes.
And sometimes they would press the button and you would hear all the background noise. And there'd be some like meeting going on in the background or something. You'd have people talking and then they would be like,
good morning, school.
Look, can you guys shut up, please?
Yeah.
All right.
And then everyone would start laughing, except they didn't know it. And it's like an airport announcement or any of those things. What they do is they sometimes have someone on the mic who's really not very articulate.
Yep.
Have you heard O.R. Tambo? Mm. Have you been there lately? They hardly ever use it because they don't make announcements for planes because there are too many planes coming and going.
So not even when they are being delayed by a passenger?
No, they don't. They hardly ever do it at O.R. Tambo. They'll do it at Durban or at Cape Town occasionally. But O.R. Tambo, there are too many flights, right?
Mm.
So what they'll do is they'll start the announcement and it'll be this woman who's shouting at you.
Yep.
And she will, because now it's something important, right? But they'll have a woman on there and she's going, and you can't, because she's talking so close to the microphone, you can't hear what she's saying. It makes no sense at all.
It's so true.
And I bet you that that's the same woman who used to make the announcements at school on some horrible microphone.
And weirdly enough, she's been promoted somehow.
No, yeah. No, now she's working for Airports Company, South Africa.
I never even paid attention.
Hello, how are you?
And they'll also switch on and off in the middle of the now the whole airport stops to oh, there's a big announcement.
Yes.
Attention, everyone. Hello, good morning. How are you? Okay, here's the announcement.
And someone scripted it for her, but then she'll go off. So, you hear this the whole time. Because she's switching her microphone on and off because she's busy getting instructions from somewhere in the background. And you hear some guy going, no, it's not the announcement you must make now. You must make that announcement later. She goes,
Sorry.
Like you needed to be told, oh, sorry. Anyway, it's just...
You've got to love it, though.
I love it. I love that stuff.
I really had forgotten about the whole intercom situation.
No, it was great.
We had boys at our school, you know, because they tried to promote us being responsible and taking initiative. So you could bring your own announcements to reception. You know, if you were head of like some little team and you wanted to have a meeting.
You did. You used to do that, right?
I always wanted to, and I never got the chance to.
Hi, everybody. CS Ungwenny Finn will be raising money at a cake sale at half past 11.
Yes.
If you want to buy his terrible cakes, please make sure you make your way down to the foyer, and he'll be selling them for 5.5 cents.
I always wanted to at least like have my voice on there, but people were now making up these meetings. So they'd say like all the grade eights meet at this part of the school. All the grade eights would meet, and there'd be no one. So they were just being horrible for no reason.
Anyway, if you've just gone back to school, good luck to you. It's only the beginning. You've got a whole year of stuff to get right. Mm-hmm. Think about it positively. Be excited about it because this could be your year. I always say it at the beginning of the year, and it's not some platitude. It really is something that I think you've got to get your attitude right at the beginning of the year. If you say it's going to be a horrible year, it's going to be a horrible year for you. There's nothing. All right, I want to get to this because I had a top 10 of 2016 for you. I know how my bally loves these.
I do.
And you won't believe the person who's got the number 2 and the number 1 song, same person. Anyone want to guess?
The Biebs.
Have a listen. Let's see how right you are. This is number 10. It's the Chainsmokers. This is for the whole year, right?
Okay. Oh.
Biggest songs of last year. So it's not just at the end of the year. It's the whole year put together based on sales from Billboard. Number 9 is this Justin Timberlake, Can't Stop the Feeling. I think he was hoping for a number 1 with this song, actually. Number 8, The Chainsmokers and Don't Let Me Down with Dyer. Don't let me down. I like this song. I thought this song was 2015. I didn't know it was 2016. Or maybe it made sales through 2016 as well, but Adele with Hello at number 7. Love this. Panda with Designer at number 6. Mm-hmm. 21 Pilots and Stressed Out at number 5. Number 4. Best lyrics ever. Number 3, this Rihanna with Work. Number 3 is Drake. And One Dance with Wizkid and Kyla. Now, can I talk about him for a second?
Drake.
I know we got to get to news. Yeah. He and Jennifer Lopez apparently pasted a whole lot of posted a bunch of fake pictures of them having a fake relationship over New Year.
Oh, so it's...
To boost sales.
Oh, okay. But
how cynical is this?
But these people do this, don't they?
Yeah.
Because they now have a song together, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Was it all just part of the publicity machine?
It's all, if you're dumb enough to believe any of these people, you're also dumb. Right? So apparently he and J-Lo spent New Year together because they've just released a song together. Guess what, idiots? They're going to make money out of you.
There we go. The best thing to come out of that are all of the memes. People saying this is Drake at X year and this is J-Lo at X year, and Drake was at like his bar mitzvah and J-Lo was at an award ceremony. You see?
Drake, how much younger than J-Lo is Drake? I mean, she could still pull any guy she wants.
Absolutely.
Well, she is.
Drake is in his 20s and J-Lo's in her 40s. So
how come we're so unfair to older women who have younger men, but we don't have a problem with older men who have younger women.
You see, I think if it's like genuine and we can sense that, then like, okay, cool, fine, whatever. But if you can tell that it's just now just a thing.
So this might just be more about the fact that they are so obviously faking it.
Like Madonna first time around. We're like, okay, cool. You know.
I don't think Madonna's ever had a man who wasn't less than half her age.
Yeah.
We can't even picture it now.
No. Well, there aren't... There aren't any people on Earth who are the same age as Madonna, so she has to date younger, right? Okay, that's number three.
They have 17 years between them, by the way.
Okay. Number two, Justin Bieber. So this is what I was getting at. He's got the number two, and he's got the number one song. So Sorry was number two, and this was number one. Now... here's the question. This is number one of 2016. I love this song. Love Yourself. Okay, now what I wanted to get to was, do you know who wrote that song for him? I only figured this out when I saw a video clip on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Love Yourself was written by Ed Sheeran.
Okay, that makes sense.
It actually does have an Ed Sheeran vibe.
It fits.
Yeah. Isn't that great? So he went on some, this is the clip I saw. It was some Australian morning show. And he said, this was last year, so obviously sometime. He said, I've written a song with Justin Bieber. But it was obviously Ed Sheeran who wrote it. Justin Bieber gets the writing credit so he can get some money out of it as well as a writer. That's how they do these things. But he admitted, it was Bieber who admitted on this show that Ed Sheeran's going to write a song with him.
Okay.
And that was theirs. And Bieber doesn't write any of his own songs on his own. All of them he's written with, usually with this woman called Julia Michaels. She's young. She's in her early 20s. She's very talented. She's written a bunch of songs for him, for Gwen Stefani. So she's like almost like Sia writes for Rihanna a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's the genius behind Bieber's hits.
Yeah, not all vocalists can write.
No. And you know what? I'm very practical about this. If you're the best singer in the world, you'd have to be the best writer as well.
Mm-mm.
But that's where the real money is. You know, the Mariah Careys, the Beyoncés, who will write and perform their own songs.
Well, the writing, you get a lion's share of the money. You get more than the performer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's guys, why I can write a song. Can't we write a song?
Do it. I was talking to a writer the other day. He composes music for he loves it when his songs become hits with other people because he doesn't have to do anything and he gets all the cash.
Sheesh.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
These days you just need a little beat and then you repeat the same line. Come on, guys, we can do this.
See, if you can write a song, and it's not as easy as you think.
But this is our yacht in Bora Bora.
Yeah, I know, but writing a hit song, there's a difference between writing a song and writing a hit song.
Okay, man. Damn it. That's my yacht in Bora Bora gone now.
Listen, we've got to get to news. It is just after 6:30 on cliffcentral.com. It's time for Mabale Moloi to give us the latest headlines, brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. If you haven't downloaded their app yet and you haven't tried out their rewards program, you are missing out big time. This is a way for you to save some money in January, and who doesn't want to do that? Plus, you get some really good food. Here is Mabale Moloi. This is what happens when I let Sia write a song. All right, what do we got?
Well, you'll remember suspicions were raised about unusual transactions regarding South Africa's four major banks and Gupta-owned companies. And so the four major banks decided to terminate their banking relationships with the Guptas.
That's good.
Well, the finance minister has now said that he is unable to publicly disclose whether the Financial Intelligence Center, also known as FIC, has referred any information to him on these suspicious banking transactions. The Gupta brothers subsequently put pressure on Pravin Gordhan to intervene with the banks on their behalf. The finance minister has now approached the High Court in Pretoria for a declaratory order stipulating that he has no authority to do so. Then the Tshwane mayor, Solim Simanga, he has defended his recent trip to Taiwan. People are still talking about this, hey?
Yeah.
Saying that it had nothing to do with politics, but rather was focused on encouraging investment in the municipality. And Simanga said that he was invited by the mayor of Taipei. And then the Department of International Relations and the African National Congress, they basically criticized the mayor for his decision to travel to Taipei. And so the Tshwane mayor is still defending that recent trip.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Saying it was not a political move in any way whatsoever, but it was rather focused on encouraging investment for his municipality. So, Solim Simanga, there you are. And then yesterday, apartheid prisoner Kenny Motsamai, he was released on unconditional parole after spending 27 years behind bars. You might not be familiar with the story.
Yes.
Kenny Motsamai was arrested back when he was 26 years old. He is now 53 years old, so it was quite a while back.
Oh.
He was arrested for the murder of a white traffic officer in a botched supermarket robbery. And so yesterday, the prisoner was released after spending 27 years behind bars, with the Correctional Services Department saying that they'd had a meeting and the parole board saw no reason to refuse the 53-year-old parole.
Ugh. Imagine being 53 years old. You've spent 27 years in jail.
I mean, you come out and the world looks like what to you now?
Yeah, and remember, it's one thing to be a political prisoner and to go to jail for for something you believe in.
True.
And, you know. Because times may change and you might end up coming out as a hero, like Madiba did, for exactly the same amount of time. But this guy goes in because he's killed a cop or whatever. And he comes out and the whole world is different. He can't relate to this world. He's probably, I don't know what he's going to do at 53. It's not like you can start a career at 50. It's quite a late stage of your life to begin living.
Well, already trust South Africans on Twitter to do this. Already people were having it for Jup Jup, and there was this hashtag, I can't remember the exact words, but it was something along the lines of what Jup Jup has missed since he went to prison.
Mm.
So it was a thing of, oh, supposedly Jup Jup said he wants to do a collab with Mandoza.
No, Mandoza is no more.
Exactly. So these are the things he missed while he was in prison. So
people
are ridiculous.
People are such assholes.
Now, the EFF's Dalimpofu mentioned yesterday upon Kenny Motsamai's release that they had been supporting the call for his release over the past 2 years. And the EFF as a party also wanted to see justice for other apartheid prisoners. I mean, you know, you mentioned that this guy killed a police officer, but can you imagine that in 2017 there are still men behind who are locked up behind bars by the...
By the old regime. Think about this.
And
those people don't know what a democratic South Africa looks like. They think F.V. de Klerk is still there. This guy got out of prison and he thinks de Klerk is still president.
And the EFF have been very critical of the ANC government still keeping a lot of these men locked up behind bars, you know, saying that they haven't done enough to ensure their release.
Yeah, but if you're a murderer, you're a murderer.
Yeah,
if you're a political prisoner, that's a different thing, right?
Yeah.
If you're what does the EFF have to do with this guy? What, do they support murderers?
Look, every political party has a, you know, they have an agenda. They have a bandwagon that they like to hop on. This is the one that the EFF have chosen.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean, what didn't Donald Trump talk about yesterday? Mm. He called BuzzFeed a pile of garbage. He accused CNN of manufacturing fake news. And, you know, he mentioned that his sons are going to be taking over the family empire while he focuses on running America as president-elect. It's now 8 days to go, and Donald Trump will soon assume his position in office. But here is what has happened since the whole debacle regarding, you know, Russia having supposedly intervened in America's democracy with this last election.
Yes.
Of course, Donald Trump revealed yesterday that, as far as he was concerned, the American intelligence are the scum of the earth now. You know, he also held them accountable for their role in perpetuating fake news. But what has since happened is that a former British spy who is alleged to have compiled a dirty dossier smearing Donald Trump, He apparently fled his home yesterday in fear of his life. Goodness. He is ex-MI6 man Christopher Steele, and he is reported to be the source of a salacious file alleging, among other things, that the Kremlin had compromising evidence about Donald Trump's sex life and that it had planned to use it as blackmail against him. Mr. Steele, who is 52 years old, is said to be an expert in intelligence analysis and counterterrorism. And security sources say he once worked with murdered Russian spy Alexander Litvinenko. So he, according to the British media, fled his home yesterday because he is now running for his life.
Well, here's what Trump said about Americans who travel overseas and all these stories about how they've filmed him. And
when
they've
I leave
evidence.
Our country, I'm a very high-profile person, would you say?
Oh, gosh.
I am extremely careful. I'm surrounded by bodyguards. I'm surrounded by people. And I always tell them, anywhere, but I always tell them, if I'm leaving this country, be very careful. Because in your hotel rooms, and no matter where you go, you're going to probably have cameras. I'm not referring just to Russia, but I would certainly put them in that category. And number one, I hope you're going to be good anyway. But in those rooms, you have cameras in the strangest places. Cameras that are so small with modern technology, you can't see them and you won't know. You better be careful or you'll be watching yourself on nightly television. I tell this to people all the time. I was in Russia years ago with the Miss Universe contest, which did very well. Moscow, the Moscow area.
Has to throw
did
that
very,
in.
Very well. And I told many people, be careful. Because you don't want to see yourself on television. Cameras all over the place. And again, not just Russia, all over. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also very much of a germaphobe, by the way. Believe me.
Okay, so that's him debunking the idea that that there's evidence that Russia has, that they're somehow holding back instead of putting out there.
Yeah, he said that if Russia had any of this information, that Vladimir Putin would have made it available.
Right, and he probably would have. It doesn't sound to me like Trump has all the nicest things to say about Russia either. Everybody was saying, "Oh, you know, they're bosom buddies."
So now, since of course Donald Trump is president-elect, people are now saying Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Scandal and Grey's Anatomy, should now run for presidency simply because they scripted this a couple of seasons ago in their series Scandal. They did sort of. Now people are saying, well, Shonda predicted that Russia would be involved in the elections.
Actually.
Exactly. So now people are putting their faith in Shonda of all things. Oh well, America. Oh, say, can you see?
All right, is that all the time we got news for?
Yep.
Or all the news we've got time for?
One of those.
Which one is it? Let's get Ben on the line quickly. He's going to give us the sport. He is over at Glendower, which is the country club they're doing the Open at. Let me just get hold of him. Should be on the phone. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Gareth.
Yeah, where are you again? What's the place called? Glendower, right?
Yeah, Glendower. I'm here on the East Rand, so Edenvale side.
Right, and that's where they're having this. You're so excited about this Open. You're so excited about the fact that Rory McIlroy is there. Have you seen him yet?
Gareth, I haven't. I'm currently under a tree on the 10th hole.
Oh, nice.
Because he's going to come through the 10th hole. There are literally thousands of people at the course already. There's probably been more people here today than all of 4 days last year. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. It's amazing what a massive superstar this guy is. It's like such excitement around here. I don't know. I'm the only one that gets excited about golf on this show.
I thought you were the only person in South Africa who was excited about this. That's not the case.
Gareth, if we could just have visuals on my chat right now, there are literally people streaming into this place. It's a Thursday morning. I'm sure people still have jobs in this country, but there are just already so many people, and it's not even 7 o'clock. Hmm. It's just amazing. Like, there's so much hype and excitement around here, and the place looks amazing. There's, like, big grandstands. It's like one of those big proper events you see on the European tour.
Nice.
But, like, in bigger countries.
Ben,
so, yeah,
I'm as happy
as can be.
You're making it sound like you are, like, strategically placed under this tree, getting ready to tackle Rory McIlroy when he walks past. What's going on here?
Well, look, I've planned it out, okay? He's going to come onto the 10th tee. There's already about 200 people on the tee right now, just politely clapping people that don't want to watch. I'm going to then hot-tail it down to the 11th tee where I can get a good vantage point. Look, I know the course backwards, so I'm plotting it all out.
Can we talk about what happened yesterday? Apparently, this whole thing is sponsored by Ekurhuleni, the city of Ekurhuleni. And apparently, the premier of Gauteng, David Makura, who I was talking about with Parks Dow on Monday or Tuesday, he was meant to have a round with Rory McIlroy, which is a hell of a thing. I mean, people all over the world would pay millions and millions of dollars to have this opportunity.
Well, it really is, Gareth. I mean, this event's huge. Ernie Els is the tournament host, okay? So all the proceeds are kind of going towards his foundation. City of Ekurhuleni, they are obviously like the city hosts. And the prime on Tuesday is a very prestigious thing. And to get a guy like Rory McIlroy here is a big deal. And David McCrory just didn't pitch. He just didn't show up. There was no explanation or anything like that. So unfortunately, the week got off to a bit of a bad start. So it's kind of embarrassing as a host when you've got a guy like McIlroy here. And he gets stood up by the premier. You know, it's obviously everyone's going to be very polite about it and say he's had an emergency or something. But you know what it was like when we were meant to interview Fakile a couple of times.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like, oh yeah, I've got a flight or whatever. I'm sure 6:30 in the morning isn't the easiest time to play golf, but like make a plan. You know, it just seems a bit sloppy.
So what did he do? Did he just not pitch at all?
Well, I've heard various secondhand stories here. I'm in the media center, which is quite a gossip. It's quite a gossip tent. And look. I've heard a lot of stories, but, you know, we aren't into fake news, so I'm not going to speculate. But essentially, he just didn't show up. There was no explanation. It was just very, very tardy.
Jeez. All right. Well, I mean, but, I don't like that at all. I get the impression sometimes that some of our government officials just, that no one ever sat them down and taught them basic manners. You know, the kind of thing that if you'd not been in the struggle, you would have had a chance to learn maybe. But someone should have sat them down when they became important and said to them, listen, this is how you behave. Not just because this guy is a celebrity golfer, but because that's how you treat people.
It's also how you host an event. You know, this is a world-class event. We really are doing South Africa proud, showing that we can do just what other countries can do. And look, if it is an emergency, obviously there's benefit of the doubt. But we've seen this all too often with politicians. They either show up 4 hours late or not at all.
And mostly it's just because they woke up late, because they don't care.
Yeah. And it really is. It's all okay. But I know time is of the essence here, so I'm just going to run through a couple of things. Of course, this is Rory McIlroy's first event with the new clubs. There's been a huge lot of hype around. He's playing in the Callaways now. Mm-hmm. But there's other huge names here. Nick Felder, who is Sir Nick Felder, England's greatest ever golfer. He's playing here. He's hitting it so shit, though, so he probably won't make the cut. Darren Clark, who was the British Open champion and Ryder Cup captain, he's here as well. Ernie Els, tournament host, Retief Koerstens here. It's just a shame that our best SA golfers aren't here. They've got other commitments. Louis Oosthuizen, this week isn't good for him because his kids go back to school. Charles Schwartzelt injured. And Brandon Grace is playing in America at the moment. Otherwise, it's a really great field. And that's all I'll say on this. But more tomorrow, of course. I'll report on the first round. There was English League Cup action over the last two nights. Man United beat Hull 2-0. And then Southampton beat Liverpool last night 1-0. It's a big week for Liverpool because they have Man United on Sunday in the league. I'll get back to that tomorrow. The whole Mayweather and Conor McGregor thing, well, it's still going. It seems that this fight is getting closer and closer. Or maybe it's just more hype to boost these guys' egos. It's apparently being billed as like the $100 million fight. So Mayweather's saying he'll fight if he gets a guaranteed paycheck of $100 million. And then McGregor's saying, well, if I have to fight you in a boxing tournament, as in actually in the ring, then I want $100 million too. So what McGregor's saying is that Mayweather must fight him in the octagon and fight, you know, full on hand to hand, all out combat. Whereas Mayweather's going, whatever, if we're going to fight, it's going to be just boxing. So if that happens, Mayweather will absolutely clean McGregor up. Everyone knows that. So that's why he's saying, okay, I'll do it for $100 million. But if it goes into hand-to-hand combat, well, I think McGregor's got he's going to eat him up as well.
Look, they're totally different disciplines. So if the guy
completely,
if a boxing great like Mayweather gets into the ring and it is boxing rules, he'll win. And if Conor McGregor goes in with MMA rules, he'll win. But the two of them together trying the opposite guy's discipline, it'll be like putting an amateur in.
Well, that's exactly what it is. So these guys are just going to have one big dick swinging contest from here until something happens. But you know, $100 million is what they both want to go into the other.
I reckon they should put them both into. Okay, so we find a compromise between a square boxing ring, which is a square, and then the octagon.
Make like a hybrid.
So we get like a septagon or whatever it is, and we put them in, and we let them smash chairs over each other's heads until someone passes out. How about that? I'd watch that.
I guess, look, if you've ever been in a couple of bar fights, you'll know that you never mess with a boxer. They'll knock you out the quickest. Not that I have.
They've got
heard.
Speed, right?
Well, exactly. So they get to the point. But at the moment McGregor gets to the floor or whatever, then he'll kill Mayweather. Anyway, final story. It is, of course, the test match at the Wanderers today as well. So it's all happening here in Gauteng. It's Umlaut's 100th test. It's going to be a very grassy and fast wicket. So some people are saying Sri Lanka are going to be eaten up. If anything, Sri Lanka's seamers have been the best part of their team in the series that they have lost already. Mm-hmm. But it looks like Wayne Parnell will come into the team. And the big decision is, on the toss, are they going to play four seamers or are they going to retain Maharaj for the one spinner? I'm guessing there's going to be so much rain around, they're probably going to go for all seam attack. So yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting to watch. And that's pretty much all you need to know about sports. But if you want to see more of the SA Open, if you do love golf, follow me on Twitter at Follow the Bounce. I'm uploading things all day.
Right.
And I am the most excited person in Joburg right now.
Terrific. Thank you, Ben.
Wait, hang on a second. I've got to sign off like this, really professional, guys.
Yeah, I go.
This is Ben Kopinski, Cliff Central Sport, under a tree at Glendower.
Very good. All right, excellent.
There you go.
It's perfect. That's exactly what we needed. All right, it's time to cross over to Anthea Gardner, who is waiting to give us a little look at the money markets for this morning. And it seems like another good day. So for those people who are already in hashtag invest, you are reaping the rewards. And to anybody who's invested in the stock market, it's good news. But if you're not, here's the thing that we're trying to do. This is not just another product out there. As far as I'm concerned, this is a way for us to make ordinary people a part of the economy. Either you're going to be one of those people who sits on the sidelines and complains that you have a job that only pays X amount of money, that you don't have any say in how the economy works, that you've never owned anything in your life, you rent your house, you hire your car, you earn a salary, or you change your life right now. Now, I don't want to promise anything we can't deliver because the stock market is like anything else. It's a living thing, basically. It goes up, it goes down. But don't you want to own a piece of a company?
If I can, sure.
And you can now. For as little as $100, you can be invested in the stock market. You could own a piece of the company. You become part of what Julius has always said is white monopoly capital. But there's no reason it should just be that. It should include you. And don't tell me that you don't have any money. Because if you're going to spend money on a pair of shoes or you're going to buy yourself takeaways today, you could be putting that money into your future. You could become someone who is a serious player one day. And all you need is time. So the younger you are, the better it is. There are lots of people who've already joined us on hashtag invest. Anthea Gardner is the asset manager. She runs a very reputable business. She's FSB approved, all of that stuff. So you've got someone who understands these things. You're not, it's not me who's investing your money. That would be a disaster. But you've got someone who knows what they're doing. You've got daily reports with us here on the show, where every single day you get to hear the ups and downs of various companies, why they're going up, why they're going down, where the different investors are moving, what's happening on the markets, what's happening with the currencies. So I don't understand how anyone could afford not to be a part of this. You should want to, just because the longer you're left out of it, the longer you can't say that you really play an important and meaningful part in the economy. Get involved. That's all I'm going to say. Get into it. Here's Anthea. Alright, Anthea, you heard my impassioned plea to people to stop being victims of the economy and start becoming people who manage it.
But except, Gareth, at the same time, you made me feel so bad because I bought a new pair of shoes on the weekend. No. I should have put the money into my portfolio.
Exactly.
Anyway,
consider this a reprimand.
Feeling totally chastised. Okay, so it wasn't just back to school yesterday. Apparently, it was also back to work because we had $2 billion worth of trade yesterday. And it looks like everyone's in a positive mood again.
Good.
Very convincingly bullish day.
So mm-hmm. Who were the big winners?
Anglo American was up again, 5.5%. Billiton, another 3.5%. Richemont feels unstoppable. It was up about 2% yesterday. But you know, we've got the Richemont and Woolworths trading updates coming out today. I must admit, I'm quite looking forward to it. No, yeah, it's a funny one because clearly trader expectations are positive for one, Richemont, and negative for the other, Woolworths. And I'm not a day trader, so unless there are huge discrepancies, I'm unlikely to trade. But I would like to see some support for my investment thesis, other than, of course, the recent reopening of Richemont's flagship Fifth Avenue New York store. You know, I want to see some hard sales numbers. The Rand got heavily sold off in afternoon trade yesterday. It closed the day at about 13.96 against the dollar.
Okay.
But I see it's back at 13.72 this morning. So the Rand, so I think it's more dollar weakness than Rand strength in that case.
All right.
And then yesterday, as if on cue, because I was talking to you yesterday about having FOMO on missing out on the MTN 20% up move in the last month, I was worried about this kind of additional extraneous risks attached to this business. Well, yesterday, the share was down over 4% after the foreign exchange bureaus in Nigeria set their exchange rate to 399 naira to the US dollar versus the official rate of around 310 naira. Now, I'm aware that the Central Bank of Nigeria wants to eliminate the parallel forex market or the black market in the naira, you know, where the naira is trading at about 485 to the dollar. But yesterday, in the blink of an eye, the naira weakened by 25%.
What?
And yeah, so, you know, by setting this rate at 399 versus 310, 305, somewhere around there. Now, it's not an official move by the central bank. So it's not like the central bank went out and said, we're setting the official rate at 399. It is the currency bureaus, but it does feel almost official. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a little bit of Jacob Zuma, the president firing the finance minister on a whim, where the currency immediately weakens by 12%. So it's not an official central bank policy, but the ramifications of this kind of move, I think, are huge. And whereas in South Africa, as South African investors, when we have a weaker rand, it's bad for the economy. But for us, because we have rand hedged stocks, it's good for some of the shares on the stock market. But as a foreign investor in Nigeria through MTN, a weaker naira means less repatriated rand revenues for MTN. So as much as I had an itchy trigger finger for yesterday for MTN, I'm now back to being very nervous about this share.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, and then Naspers is doing good for us. It's showing some signs of life again. The share is now well over 2,200 rand a share. And this after kind of languishing below 2,000 rand a share at the end of last year. Although I see Tencent trading slightly lower in Hong Kong this morning. And, you know, Naspers follows Tencent very closely.
Yes, of course.
And then the U.S. closed slightly higher last night, but Asia not looking very good this morning. And with a slightly stronger rand, unless those company updates I was talking about are absolutely phenomenal, I think we can expect a little bit of pressure on our market today. But you know, that's how it is. We've had, in the last 2 days, over 3% up. So I guess we should expect a bit of profit taking if it comes about.
Right. Okay. Anything else we need to know?
No, that's pretty much it.
That's enough. I'm not complaining. Cool. We'll check in tomorrow. Anthea Gardner with a look at the money markets. If you want to find out more, you can always email her, invest@cartesian.co.za. Or you can go onto the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. And speaking of cliffcentral.com, I don't know if you heard this, but we've had a couple of highlights over the last few weeks. And Rami Shwene, who's on Belighted, which is one of our shows. Oh, there, I switched your microphone off. Sorry about that.
Uh-huh.
So Belighted is on Mondays at 9 a.m. from next week. And they got a new time slot, so you should listen to this show. So Rami was talking about, on the show, catching the bouquet at Black Coffee's wedding.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sun City.
Right. And if you want to hear the whole story, you can listen to the podcast. Just go to cliffcentral.com for that. A lot of people know how to do it, but if you don't and you haven't done it before, this is your chance. Just to give you a little idea of what went on, This is from just after she spoke about the bouquet. It's a story about all the guests who were there. It's the craziest name dropping I've ever heard.
Well, I don't know if you saw the picture of Julius and them.
Everyone was there.
Sure.
Everyone, listen to this. So this is Rami Shwene from Belighted on cliffcentral.com.
Okay, let me tell you the inside story quickly before we go. One of the things that I enjoyed at the wedding, because that's what I was saying, it was just a whole lot of love. The CIC was there, Julius was there, Mbuisen was there, Mbawizi was there, Gigaba was there, Zizi Koto was there, Pax Dau was there, you know, all these politicians, they were there, they were sitting there. And there was a time where at the after party, they were sitting in a corner and they were making the biggest of noises because they were just laughing and killing themselves.
Oh.
And that's when, and I think also Oskido tweeted, like, when love overcomes.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's,
yeah.
it's a historic moment because love even overcomes the politics because that we forgot all about that. We had such a time of our lives.
What time and did you guys go see, to
Ohio? Okay, I got off the dance floor at 4:06 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. How's that, huh?
Yeah.
That puts me to shame.
So you want to hear the real story, then listen to Belighted. They move to a new slot on Mondays from 9 a.m. next week.
You see, I trust someone has a juicy story when the tone in their voice change and they whisper even though there's no one around.
And this is happening. Yeah, you're right.
She says, okay, let me tell you the juicy story. Yeah.
All right, everybody, let's get cracking. We've got lots to do. Some news on the way. We've got Adrian Basson joining us on the line in the next few minutes.
This is CliffCentral.com.